Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. We're going to get right into the message tonight since we'll be having meetings in a little bit. And what I'd like to do tonight is reinforce a truth that ought to be very obvious for a Christian. But if there's one thing that characterizes the generation we're living in, it's that everything today is being questioned. All the old time value, stuff that people accepted for years and years and years as fact, is being questioned by this generation. Everything. Everything. So it'd do us good as Christians once in a while to go back and, like, you have to go over a swing set or something and tighten up screws and make sure we're still held together right. And it's with truths like this tonight that will help you stay on the solid rock in these days of sinking sand. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. This is when Abraham is praying for Sodom to be spared. God was going to destroy the city, and Abraham began to pray for it. And he began, started with 50 and went down to 45 and 40 and 30 and 20 and 10. And finally, the Lord said he'd spare it for 10. They couldn't find 10. God did destroy it. Notice what the Lord said. The Bible said in verse 25, and Abraham was saying it, talking to God, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge," capital J, "of all the earth do right?" Of course, the answer to that is, you better believe that he will. I want to put to you tonight, just for a little while, on the subject, God will do right. God will do right. You don't have to worry about it. He may not do what you want, but I'll guarantee you one thing, he'll always do what's right. Bob Jones Sr. is a great preacher, and he used to say, "Do right. Do right if it kills you. Do right," he'd say, "if the stars fall." And I made up my mind, and I hope you've made up your mind, and by the grace of God, we're going to do right no matter what. Now, maybe the time may come when we may fail. And the time has come when we fail. And I'm sure as you lie. But still, my mind is made up tonight to do right. Hadn't you? Aren't you? And you got your mind made up to do what's right? You'll never, never, ever amount to much for God till you make up your mind that you're going to do what's right. People these days, "I like this and I like that." It's not what you like. It's what is right. You're not supposed to look at an issue as how it will affect you, but what is right in the issue. And the issue is not even who is right. People give out preachers all the time. "What do you think, Jerry Falwell? You believe Jerry Falwell's right? Believe Curtis Hudson's right? Believe John Rollins' right? Believe Dr. John R. I. Sells that?" Hey, man, the issue ain't who is right. The issue is what is right. People come and people go. All them guys going to die one of these days if the Lord don't come. The issue tonight is what is right. And I hope by the grace of God, I was going down the road the other day, and the devil was all over me, and he was saying, "Danny, why don't you just give up? Danny, why don't you just quit?" I think when I was coming back from South Carolina and had that bad meeting down there, and I said, "No, my mind's made up. I'm going to do right, and if I don't do right, God kill me. Take me on to my grave." And I can push you tonight, by the help of God, I'd rather God take me out of this world and kill me and put me in the grave as for me to go back in sin and ruin my Christian life and bring shame and reproach to His name. And I mean it. You know, you don't mean that tonight. You don't really want to die. I didn't say I want to die. I said, I'd rather, it would be better for God to take me out of this world than for me to go back to a lost, dying world and say, all the stuff I preached for 16 years, there's nothing to it. It's nothing. It's not real. It's not real. I'd rather be dead than do that. I mean it. I mean it. Without Jesus, there ain't nothing worth living for. Without the Lord tonight, you just soon be better off dead. God will do right. You know, ours is a day that's so full of pride and haughtiness, they'll even accuse the Almighty of sin. Because ours is a day of questioning all things, the value of right and wrong. Our generation said, who says we should get married? We'll just live together. Our generation said, who says music has to have a tune? Our generation says, they said they had a couple of lesbians on TV the other day, and they were arguing for their right to adopt a child. Yeah. And they said, if you never tell a kid no different, it'll never know the difference growing up just having two mamas instead of a man and daddy. Kid'll never know the difference if you don't tell him. You see what I'm saying? Every traditional value in America tonight is being just turned upside down by the world. When we abandoned this bit years ago in America, we've done it, buddy. We've done it big time. We've messed up, and now we're doing just like they done in the book of Judges. Every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. Brother, if that don't describe our day and time, I don't know what does. Brother, it's everybody do your own thing. The hippie philosophy of the 60s is coming back to haunt us. We're reaping a generation of hellions that have no regard for what is right, what is wrong. It's a terrible, terrible situation. And I'm telling you, brother, you go to our big cities, you go to our towns, and you find tonight that people don't know what is right, much less care, and they're doing what's right in their own eyes. But God tonight will always do right. Let me say that every major decision and minor decision God's ever made was right. There's a lot of people the other day in the McDowell News, I hardly ever read the McDowell News unless we got something in there for an article or something. I check it out, see if they printed it right. And I picked up the paper and I was looking at the religious section, and it's talking about something that was going on, and it said theologians criticize Hannah Barber's little Bible movies, cartoons that they'd made for kids. How many of you saw that? It said, some theologians are being critical. And I thought, well, that rings a bell, because my little girl, Carissa, has some of those little Hannah Barber that a brother in Louisville, Kentucky sent me in the mail, and it's little animated cartoons of the Bible. And it's Samson and Delilah, you know, and Noah and the Ark, and it's that little super book story. It talks about the super book and all that. And I said, man, I better read this. If them things ain't right, I want to know it. And boy, you know what she done in that article? It said theologian. Started out with some woman's opinion. I reckon she is a theologian, or claims to be. And that lady in there said this. She said, oh, these cartoons are grotesque. And she said, these cartoons are presenting a false God. She said, in there, it told that Samson actually pulled down buildings, and it shows people being killed and all of that. Oh, what a false view of God that is. And I said, that's really did what happened. He did pull down the building and kill all them Philistines. I mean, if the Bible was true, Samson pulled the building down on them Philistines, didn't he? Splattered their blood and guts all over that place. They said, oh, it'll ruin. She was saying that it would ruin kids for them to watch cartoons. I said, why don't that hussy jump on He-Man and putting pentagrams on there on Saturday morning and sorcery and teaching them witchcraft? Why is she all upset about it showing Samson putting the building down on the ears of the Lord? and she's all bothered about Jonah and the whale, you know, and David and Goliath. It said David actually took a sword and cut the giant's head off. She said, who would want to believe in a God like that? And I said, that's the God I always believed in. I always thought he took a sword and cut the giant's head off. And you know what she was saying in essence? She was saying that nobody would want to believe in a God like the Bible talks about God. And I thought, well, where in the world is your God from, lady? What kind of a God do you have? Do you have a God that smiles on everything? Do you have a God that pats sin on the back? Do you have a God that lets sin go unpunished? I'm telling you tonight, they're saying that God wouldn't be right if he'd done what he said he'd done in the Bible. You know what the Bible said? God told that bunch of you one time. He said, go in there and slay the Amalekites and kill women, children, and kill every one of them in there. You say, good night, that don't sound like God. You got the wrong conception of God. The God of the Bible, the God that created the universe, told him to go in there and kill women and children. Oh, I just don't think God would do that. You better shut your mouth. You're accusing God of sinning. God does right. Well, let me say first of all tonight, God did right when he cast Lucifer out of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, you know the story where it said that Lucifer was, you know, he started out like as a light. That word luce means illuminate, lux. And boy, that thing, he was an angel of light, no doubt. Choir leader in heaven, they say. Because music was connected with it. And he got up there and he began to exalt himself high beside God. And Lucifer got up there and he said, I will be like the Most High. I will do this and I will do that. And the Lord said, oh no you don't. Bam! And kicked him out of heaven. And Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now he was created as a perfect cherub. God did not create evil. You say, Brother Danny, I thought God created everything. Now, it's a play on words. Listen, God created him a cherub, and he became the devil. We don't have time a lot to go into that tonight, but God made him perfect. The book said, in the Garden of Eden, thou was perfect, and then pride come into him, and he became the devil, see? And so the Lord made him as a cherub, not an angel, a cherub, not an angel, a cherub. And Revelation chapter 4 describes this kind of a wild creature. There's a lion, calf, domestic animals, a lion, the wild animals, and an eagle represents the fowls, and man's face represents a human. And there's only four faces on that creature in Revelation chapter 4 representing wild animals, domestic animals, fowls of the air, and human beings. There's one class of animal that's left out. And what's that? That's amphibians. That's the reptile. There's no ace on that creature to represent them. Now the Bible said that Satan was the fifth cherub. And when he fell there with that fifth class, the class of reptiles, snakes, lizards, and they don't have no representation in heaven. And so God kicked him out, and he became represented as a serpent crawling on his belly forever. And God put the curse on him there in Genesis 1. We don't know what he looked like when he appeared to Eve, but when God cursed him, he said, on your belly you'll go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of your life. Now Lucifer exalted himself. God has love. Lucifer exalted himself. God loved man. So here's why you say, well, why did God even allow there to be a devil? It goes like this. God is love, right? He's perfect love. Now if God is perfect love, he's got to have somebody to love. So he makes a second party, man. There's somebody I can love. Now, for it to be perfect love, it's got to go in a circle. Love ain't love, you know, until it comes back to you. So he said, I want you to love me back. But to love God back, man had to have a choice, right? So the Lord lets a third party come in the picture to give man the choice whether he'll love him or not. So that's why the devil was allowed to come on the scene. A lot of people say, well, it's just not right. If God knew why all this was going to happen, why did he even let the devil come? You better listen to me tonight. God did what was right. God let the devil come for a reason. And if you don't understand it, that don't mean God done wrong. That just means he ain't as smart as God is. God had a reason for it. God has a reason for everything he does, and don't ever be fool enough to thank God. long. I've heard people's maybe their baby dying or something, and they'll say, why did God do this? Well, I'll tell you one for sure tonight. If God did it, it was right. God knows the future, and He don't make no mistakes. Let me say secondly tonight, God did right when He made Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden. You see that? Boy, they had it made in the garden. And by the next thing you know, the devil came and tempted them in Aesop's Fables. You ought to read Aesop's Fables sometime. There's some great spiritual truths in there. There they are. And there's a story there about the fox and the crow. And they said that the old crow had a piece of cheese. And he's sitting there with a big piece of cheese in his mouth. Here come the old fox. You know, a fox is supposed to be sly, smart, and everything. And so he comes up to the queen and says, my, you have the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. Would you sing me a song? And the crow said, no, hold that key in my mouth. And the fox said, would you please sing me? I'd love to hear you sing. And the crow said, oh, really? And he said, yeah, sing me a song. He kept on begging him. Finally, the crow said, okay. And opened his mouth and began to sing. And when he opened it, the cheese fell out. And the fox grabbed the cheese and took off with it. You know what the moral of that story? All of them have a moral. You know what the moral of that story is? Beware of flatteries. When somebody comes up and bragging on you, patting you on the back, they want your cheese. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get something from you. That's right, brother. And when somebody comes up to you, that's what the Bible said. The Bible said, he that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And buddy, I'll tell you what the devil done to Eve. He come up and he said, Eve, have you ever eaten some of this fruit right here? And Eve said, no, no. God said, don't touch it. He said, now listen, sister, you look at that right there, how pretty it is. My. Wouldn't you love to have a bite of that? Eve, you're pretty. Did you know that? And that would even make you prettier. There's no telling how pretty you'd be if you ate that fruit. And Eve said, no, we're not supposed to eat it. And the devil said, it'll make you wise. You're pretty smart already. God wants you to be smart because He'll be jealous because you'll be smart like He is. And He talked Eve into it. And Eve ate that fruit and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And the human race fell, and God found out about it, and God said this. God said, now He put forth His hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. Why didn't God want to do that? Because they would have lived forever in a sinful condition, and God didn't want no human beings living forever in a sinful condition. So God run them out of the garden. He put up a flaming sword and said, you can't get back in here. And when God done that, the angels in heaven said, amen, you did right. God, you did right. He did do right. You think about what a mess the world be in right now if everybody lived forever in their sinful state. Mussolini still be alive. Hitler. Pretty boy Floyd. Machine Gun Kelly. Bonnie and Clyde. God did right. You know what our problem is? When God does something, just because we can't figure it out, we start thinking He made a mistake. God don't make no mistakes. Number three, God did right when He let the flood come on the old world. Say, oh, a mean God. It would take a mean God to do that. No, you're all wrong. It would take a mean bunch of people to cause Him to have to do that. Buddy, you can tell a lot about a person about they're always taking up for people and putting down God. There's something wrong with a person that's constantly trying to find fault with the Bible and bragging on people. Something wrong. They're looking to justify their sins. Now, brother, I'm telling you what, I ain't perfect. I've sinned and I'm ashamed of it. But there's one thing I hope you never catch me doing by the help of, and that's putting God down and man up. I'm going to say God is right by the help of the Lord if He cuts my own throat. God be true to every man, a liar. When God let that flood come, you say that was a cruel thing. No, it wasn't cruel. It was a cruel thing for them to marry and give in marriage and swap wives and commit adultery and blaspheme God and not live. That's a cruel thing.
You got it all wrong, brother. We're living in a generation that's trying to deify man and humanize God. Bring God down, put man up. My job is to put God up and put man down where he's supposed to be.
He made a covenant with Noah. And when that water started falling, you know, I was going, you know that tornado that come the other day? My soul. I was driving to North Wilkesboro during that, when it was blowing houses away and everything. And I thought it was awful bad out there. But I was in a hurry and I was trying to pass people and they wouldn't let me pass. There's a creeping down the road, you know, and I said, man, I got to go. I was going to be late. And it was raining so hard you couldn't see. And I noticed the wind blowing. It was killing people and everything during that. And you know, just for a few minutes I started thinking, boy, what if I was in the days of Noah? Man, don't you know it rained. And buddy, that water started coming down, and I bet you when that rain started falling, them said, we're not that bad. God's good. He's not going to destroy us. God, no! The Lord wouldn't do that! That stuff started getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, he'll cut it off in a little bit. God's too good. He's not going to drown our babies. No! God wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Guess what? God did do it. God did let the babies drown. God did let old mamas and grandmas die. God did let grandpa drown. You say, Brother Danny, it's a cruel for God to do that. No, it's not. God did right. You may not understand it, but God did right. It was cruel for them to reject the message of grace that Noah preached and not get in the boat. That was a cruel thing. God never destroys a nation without giving you a chance to get out of it. You can't accuse him of doing wrong. Then God did right when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But if there's anything in the world that ought to show our nation what God thinks of homosexuality, it's Genesis 19. How in the world a man can say, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible and I believe it's right to be a homosexual is beyond me, brother. But buddy, we got them claiming it. We got them claiming that God made them that way and that God joined them together with their gay partners and that God... They were trying to say that these lesbians should be able to have children legally. They can't have them. They, by artificial insemination, or adopt them. Now that right there ought to show the ignorant things that it ain't right. They can't have kids. They can't have a kid that's a part of both of them. Amen? But I'm telling you tonight, God said it is an abomination. And so the Bible tells us that God turned them into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. Making them an example. America tonight is not following their example. And by the way, let me say this. The Lord will give a nation time to judge their own sins. And if they don't, He'll step in and do it. God will give you time to judge your sins in your life. If you don't do it, He'll step in and do it. You say, Brother Danny, I've been sinning. You better get on the ball and judge yourself. If you don't, God will. He'll do it. You'd lot better be better off to take it yourself and do straighten your own self out and pray and fast you get through it than let God lay the whipping lash to you. So God gave them time to repent and they didn't do it and the Lord burned them down with fire. Let me say this. God does the same thing with the church. Now I know that our church ain't perfect, beginning with me especially. But I can also say this. Y'all listen to me? I've sinned, come short of the glory of God. But I can promise you this. I've never walked up these steps and walked behind this pulpit and opened this Bible and preached without first begging God to forgive me and cleanse me and keep me, get everything that's wrong out of my heart. I promise you tonight that I have not, by the help of God, kept deliberate sin. But listen, that's what makes God judge a church.
And every once in a while I hear rumors about people. You know, like somebody singing in the choir that's been sinning. Or one of the men in our church making passes at a woman who's married. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up here and bust it. So God won't have to judge us. Oh, let me just reinforce that. I don't care if you can sing like Kelly Tucker. If you're out here drinking and deliberately living in sin, I mean, I know ain't none of you up here perfect. Don't get me wrong. If you're out here deliberately committing sin and on purpose and you ain't got no intention of changing, you stay out of the choir. You ain't got no business singing in the choir. You need to be in the altar getting right with God. Amen right there. You going out here looking like a prostitute, flirting with every man you run into and run around on your husband or wife or doing this or that. You don't have no business doing nothing in church but getting on the altar and getting your life right. See, if I go ahead and say that and take care of it, God won't have to judge us. But if I just say, well, then God will drop an axe on us. You say, well, Brother Danny, what would you do if you knew somebody was doing it? I'd just preach like I just preached. And somebody's stupid enough to do it after what I just said, they ain't no use talking to them, that's for sure.
If you cuss on the job, you kid, y'all ain't got no business singing in your life. You go to school and cuss tomorrow. Say amen right there. Amen! Amen! If you're taking God's name in vain, using four-letter words, telling dirty jokes, you ain't got no business up singing the blessed songs of the Holy Spirit of God. God done right when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I'd rather have a choir with two people in it that is at least trying. Now, I don't mean to heap a bunch of false guilt on you. You know, I mean, we might not have but two next Sunday in the choir. See, I know we're all sinners. But if I went by my life, I'd never be able to get up here and preach. But there's a difference between a man that's trying and praying and begging God to get the sin out of his heart than there is somebody who's deliberately living the life of a hypocrite. There's what will bring God on a church. But there's a lot of churches in America that used to be on fire for God, and the judgment of God's on them right now because they swept sin under the carpet. And there's sin in the leadership, and there's sin in the church members, and there's sin in the Sunday school, and there's sin in the choir. God ain't going, He does right, He ain't going to bless a bunch of mess like that. I ain't a dictator, and I ain't going to point you out and call your name. You're supposed to have enough sense to know if you're going to do something for God, you ought to be right with Him. Not only that, God did right when He required His Son to die on the cross. God demanded blood to be shed. From Adam and Eve's sin, right on to right now, God demands blood to be shed for sin. They beat Him. They mocked Him. He became the supreme sacrifice. You say, why did Jesus have to die? Because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It had to be a perfect man. Let me say lastly tonight, God will do right, folks, when He casts sinners into hell. You're without excuse. One day at the white throne, they'll argue and give reasons for their justification, but God will do right, and nobody will be able to do anything or say anything against it. The final trumpet will blow. You know what one of the scariest thoughts you ever thought of? Buddy, I'd give anything if I could afford it. If Hollywood, a bunch of them would get saved and make a movie, The Judgment Day. Son, you talk about drama. You talk about excitement. Ghostbusters could not touch it with a 10-foot pole. You know them old movies like where the Titanic sunk? And they was all dancing and drinking and cutting up. And the next thing they're screaming off. Buddy, them things will have you on the edge of your seat. You'll be sitting there. You'll be so tense, wrapped up in. What if they made a movie of the Judgment Day and they had famous people in America, famous singers, famous athletes, famous politicians, you know, famous people who have blasphemed God. Think of Madeline Mary O'Hara standing before God and saying, "Oh God, oh God, I didn't know it, Lord. I didn't know you was real. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. And the angels pick her up, and God said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." And Madeline's going, "Ah!" Boom! Into the fire. And everybody in heaven will say, "Amen." Ah, my, my, my. What a terrible, terrible day that'll be. You think about rock and roll singers. Listen to me, young people. Listen. You think about your idols. They put out a nasty movie this summer to attract all you kids and named it Cocktail. And it's dirty. I checked it out just enough to find out. It's filthy. And all it's doing is pushing the life of a bartender. Is that the kind of people you want your kids to turn out to be? And they say, "Oh, it's good, man. It's a good story." It's pushing, whore hopping, and bartending. That's what it's doing. Buddy, you wait one of these days when God hauls that crowd in and stand before the great white throne of judgment, and they begin to scream. Listen to me, girls. And holler and say, "God! God! God! No, God!" God says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." One of these days, brother, and it's going to be right when God does it. Me as a preacher, I ain't half as scared of God as I ought to be. We don't fear God. You know what's the matter in America tonight? We don't fear God like we ought to fear Him. We think God's a good old boy up there, you know, just a good boy, and smiling down at everybody, and bless everybody's heart, and it didn't know no better and all that. God is holy. To do wrong. And if God will do right, I don't care if you like it, I like it. If it sends your kin folks and mine to hell, God will do right. God won't do wrong to keep the world out of hellfire. He'll always do right. Let's stand together and bow our heads.